Okay, today's the regular board meeting of the governing board in Rockwall Elementary, September 3rd, 2019, at 5:15. The time is exactly 5:15. All members present, both administrators present, and we have, we're ready to open item 1A, call to order and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of September 3rd, 2019.
Second.
Mr. Rommel seconds. Aye.
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 And Madam Chair, Madam President, the one thing we talked about was that we have already done letter E on the consent agenda. So we can either leave it on there and just approve it, or we could strike that because you did approve that at the last board meeting.
I think whenever we get down there, we'll just deal with it then. That's okay,
okay
with you.
Right.
Okay. Item 2, call to the public. Item 3, the consent agenda. Item A, approval of the minutes. A, for the regular board meeting of August 13. You know, something on here I didn't really look at, which would have been the same thing that Tim was just talking about, that we were going to redo the signatory. That would have been the August 5th meeting. Item C, where I found that we'd already done that. And so I told Tim that I found that we'd already done that item. So let's look at that. We don't have, this is just the 13th. So unfortunately, we already approved the 5th, and that was already on there. So it's a done deal. So we don't, do you all have any changes for the minutes? Okay, we're good there. Moving on to item B, and we're going to work on these all at once unless you guys have any disagreement on anything. Since the consent agenda, the presentation of the August financial report, Ms. Horton.
Yes, if you turn to your expense vouchers for the month of August, we had 3 expense vouchers and we had 2 payroll vouchers. I put down the total for the August of both vouchers and the year to date, where we are for the year to date spending. That would be something you might want to focus on. Next month, if you want, I can put on that sheet the amount of the actual budget minus the expenditures to date, and then you can see where the budget is at this point. That is something you want to see next month.
And tell me what the change, or you're making a change? Or?
Well, that's what, if you would like to see it, I will put that on here this next time around.
Okay.
I'll put the total budget and then minus the year to date.
Okay.
And see where the budget is.
In addition to the budget itself?
On the stuff.
Okay.
This page,
yeah. Anything additional information, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you look on the bottom, I tried to number each page so that, like, if one of you has a question on anything, you can just say go to page 23.
Okay.
And so on the bottom, if you can read my numbers that I put down there, I think it goes up like 51 or 52, I guess. But that way, I numbered it all at the bottom as of if you're looking at page 1, just so we could go that way and have a quicker reference.
Are there any questions on the funds for August? And then what you're looking at on the vouchers are each one individually.
So this parent messaging system, we pay almost $1,000 for that?
There are some student management systems out there that actually have a messaging system in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something over the course of the next year. There are a lot of different technological things I'd like to have us take a
options.
Look at. I want to talk with the staff about some of the programs that we have, because we have probably like 3 different programs that I think do the same thing, and I don't want to double kill the kids on all this extra testing and things we don't need to. So I think we need to look at some of that and see. But that, because ours doesn't necessarily have that, that's $800 and some cost.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You have any questions?
No. The AC units, the ones that we have issues with, is it going to be on this?
We have one that's going to be coming up under an action item.
Okay.
We got one fixed because they were able to fix it for like $200. So we took care of that. The guy was here and had the stuff and did it. We have Ms. Franco's room that we've been dealing with for the entire year. I think she's had...
Are you talking about the air conditioning?
She's had the coils and different things. And I think she's had air conditioning, I think, four or five days all year. It's been... we thought we had it. The guy thought he had it fixed for... And then we found more holes in the coils. And so we've got that.
They just haven't been maintained, basically?
We've got it. You know, sometimes...
They're aging.
With those coils, if you hit them the wrong way or you bump them, or when you're lifting the thing, if it hits something, it can pop a hole in them. So there are a couple of units that have been shut off for a few years that we're going to, I'll talk about in my report a little bit, just so you know what we're doing. We do have the one tomorrow that we would like to get fixed. So we put it on the agenda for tonight. So we approve it, and then we can get it fixed tomorrow with Franco's room, so you see how much that cost is. It has actually been a good process to go through with all these HVC HVAC guys, because it's interesting to see the difference in price that the three different companies have. So I think that's been a good eye-opening experience.
And there's not anybody local.
We've got two out of, one has a sub place in Bisbee, but he's mainly in Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And then one... I think I did get, the other one is from Douglas also, and one is from Sierra Vista.
They're not like way in Tucson, but
no,
not.
I think Bird's guarantees their work too.
Yeah, that's who we've been using, and that's
right.
Who this quote for to fix this one is. The thing that we have to be just careful about is once you approach $10,000 for the year, you need to make sure everything's gone out for a triple bid.
Right.
And so we can do some of these small repairs, but when we get into what these bigger units
big
are going to be.
And
then also we'll be hitting up the board. Donna's going to be sending a letter tomorrow because we just want to get all the quotes. But I'll explain that when I get
it's been a long time coming, Tom. Okay, thank you. Anything further? Any questions? Okay, so moving on to item D, approval of the 1920 volunteer list, which I thought would be a little more extensive.
Yeah. Well, we had one already, and we just had one more. So, yeah, I mean, my hope is honestly that once we are able to get going with the PTO or PTA, depending upon what route they want to go, that we're able to get more volunteers that way.
And we have Rita right now.
Rita so far. And then,
this gal.
This, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so two so far. I think there'll be more. I believe maybe at parent-teacher conferences, I'm hopeful that we'll get a few more people that would be willing.
Now, are you talking about the volunteer list specifically for the PTO or PTA? Or are you talking about volunteers?
No, I'm just talking about for our school right now.
Right.
That's our second volunteer. And then I've found it very helpful when you have a PTO or PTA to get parents involved, and then they're willing to volunteer and do things.
And the volunteers are working under another teacher, so they don't need to have a security background.
Right. No, they will not. They're not working with kids individually.
Right.
They'll be helping with parties or whatever, but not taking kids into a side room by themselves or anything.
Okay.
So.
Perfect. Anything further?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to the bank signatory, which is E. We just discussed that we did deal with that on October 5th after I looked at the agenda. And so we're going to strike that because there's only one technicality that Tim needs to do for the team in order to get that all accomplished. So, and that's all it is, just a technicality.
We've got all that paperwork done.
Right.
Donna has it all, so
they just said all they need is your information, so that's perfect. And then, so moving on, if we have nothing there, moving on to item F, for the substitute teachers, which is adding Carl Ashmew and Anna Garcia, No, Galicia.
Yeah,
Galicia?
I thought it was Garcia at first too, but yes.
Is that how do you pronounce it?
Oh, I got to look at it again. It's not.
Like Garcia,
Galicia.
No, Galicia. It also turns into an accent on one of the eyes.
Yeah, Galicia.
I don't want to do it.
I believe it's Galicia.
Okay.
They and the nice thing is they are both interested in subbing, and they are both, neither of them are afraid to sub in middle school, which makes them really, really, really special people. So we don't have a lot of people who want to do that, but right now we're just in a tight situation with subs. So any of them available would be wonderful, because our subs and our paras and everybody else are kind of stretched to the max right now.
So Tim, on a consent agenda, we would go ahead and approve that consent agenda, or
could approve the consent agenda as is, yes.
Okay, so do we have any questions or any further discussion? No. Would you all want to make a motion for item 2 of the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion for item 3, the consent agenda. I'll motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item E, because that has already been approved.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 Item 4 in the action item. Discussion and approval of the recommended hire of a title paraprofessional in special education transportation. This will be 4 hours a day with our kindergartners and 2 overflowing classrooms low on support. We'll also provide afternoon transportation for a student coming from home from having services provided 4 days a week. And we don't really have paperwork on each one of these items, right?
No, I did not give you the individual paperwork on this one. I have all of that with me on each of the individuals that we got the applications and interviews for. But I guess what I would say is I felt we had 2 very qualified candidates, one a little more experienced than the other. I would feel comfortable, and honestly, if we had 2 openings, I would hire both of them. Because I know that this is a budgetary item, I would ask that you would look at making a motion that would give us the ability to offer the position to the more experienced person first, because he would be the number one candidate, but to be able to come back to a second person because he was very qualified and I think would be a great team member for us also. If the first one would turn us down because he felt that wasn't enough money for him per hour to fit into our budget, then I would like to be able to move on to the second candidate and not have to have a special board meeting for that.
And we have somebody that has a little more experience, and that's definitely an asset. So do y'all have any questions, or when y'all make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move to approve the hire of candidate A with the pay rate of $12 per hour and the benefit package. If for any reason candidate A fails to accept the position as offered and compensated, I approve candidate B for hire. Can I get a second?
Second motion.
Aye.
Romero seconds. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item B.
Item B. If you go to the very last page of the packet that I put together for you, we have the quote from Berg's.
Right.
I mean, they do guarantee their work, but I believe from all the information we got from the other people, it looks like all 3 of the companies that we're working with now, I think, all have a good guarantee. So I'm not afraid to use any of those people. But we have been working with Berg's. They did see what it was, find it, and come up. We had to wait on it being delivered. That's why we weren't able to get it fixed earlier anyway. And it worked out well with the board meeting tonight, and we'd be able to get an appointment tomorrow. The cost to repair that unit was $1,327.
I think we have a lot of choices there, and I think we can't have people sitting in a stifling hot room. If I need to do it minimally, we can to get them more comfortable.
We've been moving them around a little bit. Jewel's been very good to let us use her library when there are no other kids in. We come in here some. But Ms. Franco, likes to have her desks and all of the equipment. I mean, you don't like as a teacher to be bouncing all over the place. So she's stayed in there most of the time. But we've had some tough days, 100-plus
when
days.
It's just stuffy, too, with the humidity. And so do you all, I don't really see any way around it.
No.
So I'd like to make a motion on item B that we approve the work being done on are the AC units per the request and the estimate.
Second motion.
Mr. Romero seconds. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Item C. One of the things that I reached out to the staff early on about was people that they had that did professional development for them, and especially this person. I can say that almost every person that got back to me had very good things to say. Their concern was they don't want to spend too terribly much money to have somebody come in, but they felt that this lady, Janelle Chisholm, had done a very nice job working with them. So when I spoke with her, I wanted to change how we did it so that we would get her for back-to-back days. In my estimation, if we have her for back-to-back days, she's not so worried about getting out of here early at the end of the day, and she'll be here earlier at the beginning of the day. And maybe we get a little bit longer days out of her, and she's a little bit fresher, not having to drive, you know, 3-4 hours to get here. And she does work with both math and ELA, which are two of the areas where we need to supply some help. She works with middle school and elementary, and kind of our goal, as we spoke, would be generally one day she would be working with 5th through 8th grade, and one day she would be working K-4. And possibly sliding 4 up, since she might have a little more time with the 5-8 than she does with the K 4 now that we've split every classroom. So she and I are going to visit about how we divide that up, and I'll talk with the staff about that. But the feedback I got from them was that she was pretty good. She does charge $1,000 a day. That, believe it or not, was the cheapest of the professional development that we had last year that came in. So when they had good things to say about her, I lined her up for 10 or 11 days to come and work with our teachers, as long as it was board approved. And I guess that would be my request and recommendation this year, is that we use that. I'm trying to find someone to come in, sit down and listen to the teachers, maybe model for the teachers, and then sit down and discuss what they saw and what the other person did and how we can get better.
Now, and you said that $1,000 a day, that we're not paying for travel time, it's a flat
$1,000. No travel, no motel, nothing.
And this gal, so there's no per diem for any of that.
Nope.
And so the other gal, this lady's been here since 1 year?
I believe only 1 year last year, correct, teachers.
Okay. So, but before, who do we have before? I was trying to remember who we had before.
The lady that came with the TRE program, the reading, was Becky...
Rapier.
She was here last year. I don't know
yes.
about previous years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she was much more expensive, and she also got expenses and things. So.
Well, I'm just trying to remember the,
yeah.
you know, the dynamic, because
yeah.
I could not remember. So,
so right now I don't have anybody yet for reading. Janelle said she would help me if we needed some help to find someone. I also talked with Jackie Clay and a couple of the superintendents the last meeting.
Okay.
Still looking for that, I guess.
You have any questions? Want to make a motion?
Well, this, she would come in how many times a week?
Well, no, she would come 10 or 11 times throughout the year. She would
or
come on Monday, Tuesday. And then almost every month, Monday and Tuesday, and I think there's one month where she would come 3 times or something like that. So it's almost like monthly. And then she'll go over some things with the teachers and then come back and get other teachers. And
that's why Tim's going to have her maybe like for 2 days in a row, so we have her going back.
I just feel like we get more time from her if we have her 2 days in a row versus, you know, a Monday here and a Wednesday over here and, you know, that kind of thing.
I make a motion to approve the hiring for of math and ELA support from Janelle Chisholm.
Janelle Chisholm.
Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that motion.
Aye.
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 Okay. Letter D. Letter D is it's a program that I would like to see us try to use, and I'd like to give it a couple of years to let the teachers work at it and have the kids have a couple of years of running. It's called Learning Without Tears. It's Reading Without Tears, Writing Without Tears. It's a program that's nationwide. It's very specific about teaching kids how to write letters and how to write numbers. It incorporates music and activities with it. I can honestly tell you, we did this when I first went to South Dakota, and we made huge advances in our tests. And I attribute our scores in our third grade, the 2 years, but especially the second year, to a lot of this, because we got a common language from K through four in writing and reading, and we used the same terms. And so when kids went from Ms. Mott's room to Ms. Torres's room, they were hearing the same terms for what they were doing. And it didn't matter that it was kindergarten, first, second, third grade. They learned how to write. They did it all together. The goal or the idea for me is that we would start with K and 1. And really, we have to find something that incorporates more learning angles than just sitting down with a pencil and trying to teach kids how to write a letter and things like that. I think using more mediums and incorporating music and a video and different things like that, I think maybe we can make more headway or quicker headway with some of our young kids. So I'd like to start with the K-1 with the idea that when we get to the spring and we look at where we are at with our budget and our title account, that we would have enough to be able to send second and third grade and possibly second, third, and fourth grade to the spring conference, so that we've had K-1 using it for most of the year, and then 2, 3, 4 get it towards the end of the year, so they have it, can try a few things, and they're ready to go next year, and then next year we're K-4 with the exact same writing program. I know that we have different things. I mean, I know that we have stuff that people are comfortable with. You know, I've talked with a few of the different, you know, teachers at different levels. I'm trying to find something. I'm not as worried about whether the teachers will like it or not, because I think they will. I think that when the kids get excited about it and get into it, it's easier for the teachers. And I believe that this will incorporate more mediums and get the kids engaged. You know, when I go by a kindergarten room and there's music on or video and the kids are doing stuff, they get into it. You know, and I think that's one thing we can use with this is they have for drawing and alphabet and numbers and everything. There's rules for everything, and those videos and the music incorporate those rules. And
so how old is this program? You're aware of it.
Oh gosh.
It's not a new
I'm not 100% sure. It's all over the United States.
It's been a few years. I'm just
saying
it's not
new
out of date.
It's not like a new shiny thing coming down the road or anything, no. We used it, we actually used it in Bemidji when I was just a teacher there, and I was out doing my principal practicums in the elementary schools. And then when I went to Reamer, we had it in Reamer, and it was very helpful. Very helpful, especially for our population of kids who really struggled academically, and many of them came off the reservation. And so when we incorporated the video and the music and different things like that, it just seemed to help get them engaged. And if we get kids engaged in learning, they're going to be effective. That's just my whole goal. Now, I could be totally wrong, and they could, by the end of the year, my kindergarten and first grade teachers could.
You think you might know by the end of the year if it's successful?
I'm full of hogwash. Well, I think that we'll evaluate it before we send off another 6 teachers.
Right.
We'll sit down with the K and 1 to
yes, 6
see
teachers,
what they
I
think. But in the spring, I'd like to send the rest of the elementary to that.
Okay.
As long as we see that it's worth it. And I think that, I know Linda's had a little bit of, you know, opening to it before, and I couple of other people had heard of it, but I don't know if anybody else has used it or not. So
I think our kids need every advantage possible to make them successful and make it with their transition easier into the next level and reading and all that stuff. So
I guess the big thing for us is that it was just, it seemed like the kids thought it was fun, and if they think it's fun, then they don't really think it's learning.
Even better.
You know, so, I mean, that got them excited and engaged by it, but if I'm, you know, I guess I'm a big boy, and if it doesn't work for us and we're not seeing anything, I'll
shoot it down.
Say, okay, we're not going to move on.
Okay.
If we're not seeing it now, then there's no sense wasting any money on it. So.
Well, you never know. It might make a big difference. So,
Are the kids going to stay up there? For the night?
No, we're going to send just the kindergarten and first grade teachers.
They'll be taking all the kids with them.
Yeah.
The teachers.
We'd get one extra room if they'd volunteer to take the kids with them.
Will the paraprofessional, would they be going to? Or
what we'll do, ultimately, that's,
yeah.
I want to train her, but for the cost right now, I want to train the teachers first. That might be the idea, might be that if we have the money at the end of the year to expand it or to send the paraprofessionals next fall, because they need, like I already told the paraprofessionals when they come to me about our staff development stuff, I want them at everything that we're going through. They need to know how to do it. They need to know the right terminology. So yeah, I'm not trying to exclude them right now, but for me to send three more people,
you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like we're trying it out with the four teachers first, and then if it works, then
right.
They think.
And it's like building a house. The K-1 are our foundation.
Adding on the foundation.
And then so next year our ones will be in second grade, so we want to make sure second grade has it, and preferably more than just one grade at a time.
And then the testing will reflect if it's like successful or helping them.
Well, and I think the teachers will be able to tell us.
Oh yeah.
If it's working or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, we do have plenty of language barriers. So if we're able to tear a few of those barriers down by incorporating the music and the videos and the writing, great. Just
okay.
Gets us closer. So
okay, you guys, ready? Are you ready to roll? Or you have any questions? Ready? Make a motion.
Now make a motion to approve item D.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 That concludes our action items, and so moving on to item 5 and the superintendent's report. Mr. Mackel, your report.
Okay, so I don't want to forget about the air conditioning unit, so I'm going to give you a brief update on that. We got the three bids that we have to get in. Donna is preparing the bids, and we have two units that have been shut down, and we do not know how long. One, the motor is totally shot on. I think the motor is probably shot on the other one. Neither of them work. They're both on the over the cafeteria one and over the first and second kindergarten area, the center part of that. Those are the two units that have not been working for an extended period of time. We are also having problems with the unit on the other side of the library. So, like, this side of the library will cool, that side of the library will heat. So if you're really cold, just go to that side, and if you're hot, come over here. We're able to keep everybody happy, but we got both units running full speed, and it's not very effective efficiency-wise. Along with that, same reason to fix those 2 units instead of letting them sit and rust on the roof is that we're making all the other units work harder, and so they're going to wear out quicker. So by fixing them, so Don will take all the bids and she will send them to the
Arizona School Facility Board.
And then we're going to see if they won't pick up the tab and replace them for us.
Mm-hmm. Yay. That was
so that's our goal. And if they will do that, then as soon as we get their approval for that, we'll bring it back to you for your approval. And then we'll be able to move forward with it. So that'll probably be the coldest day of the year. We'll probably get the approval from them, but
our cold is not like your cold.
Right, yeah, your cold is 55 degrees. I'll take that any day. 50 maybe. So, but that's one of the things that we've been working on. I want to make sure you got that information. So it wasn't an action item because until they approve it, we don't need an action from our board. They just need all the facts and they need to see that we did all of the footwork for getting the bids.
And we appreciate your keeping us up to date on what's happening. So that's good.
I did meet with Mrs. Almos and another lady, and I can't, do you know who that was that came with your wife, sir? No, I can't remember. Because we never got a chance to talk because she understands English, but she doesn't speak English.
Mrs. Almos or Martinez.
It could be. Mm-hmm. It could be. She had three children. That's what I got out of it. So, but we had a very good visit about the PTA and PTO and what we can do with it. We're going to meet again, I believe, next week. And what I asked them was to come with some ideas of what would we like to have for goals. What would we like to do with the PTA and PTO? And then once we have our goals, then we could start funneling and getting meeting with staff to see who is interested in helping out and then branching out to the public. And I'd like to do it prior to student teacher conferences, which is the 12th and 13th.
So we always had a PTO forever and ever. When my daughters were here, we had PTO. But unfortunately, it really wasn't an approach where it involved the school or the teachers. It was just mostly turned into like racking up money for the eighth grade graduation party, you know. And so it was really like them getting together and kicking around ideas about what they were going to do, like for graduations and some of the milestone things that were going on. And so it can be a lot of things, you know. So
my experience with PTO, I only had PTO in the last school I was at, and it was brand new when I got there. And it was great. We brought in astronomy thing that we put in the gym, and all the classes got to go inside and do some different things. But we've got Sierra Vista right here, you know, so you wouldn't really need that. But we brought in animals from different places in the world, and they helped fund some student trips and helped us provide chaperones and volunteers. And those were the things that we had a Lego night, and we had a math club night, and now we've just this year started a robotics club that the PTO was helping with. So there are a lot of things PTO can help with and be very beneficial part of. What I don't want to do is just turn PTO into a fundraising.
Well, see, and I think that what happened to him actually was that the school, I think you guys remember, we used to have a graduation party for our kids after graduation. And then we would have the party here. And then something happened, and I'm not going to go into that, but alcohol. We stopped having it, and then the parents were having to have their own party. And so PTO is really kind of a part of trying to have a substantial party for the eighth graders because we didn't have one here. And so because it's been some time lapse since we've done that, the organization can revamp it to whatever they want it to be, you know. And so it sounded like Ms. Almost was kind of had some positive things that she was thinking. And
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. They could make whatever they want. It's just that is how the way it unfolded because we'd stopped doing the parties here.
We talked about a lot of things that day, and my recommendation to them was that we just focus it for the first year and try to get down to a few things that we'd like to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe a couple of easy things and then something a little more out, you know, that we'll have to work towards. So we're gonna sit down next week and then try to go through that.
Well, you guys have little kids. You guys are going to have your kids kind of range up, you know. So, I mean, there's involvement that applies to all those different levels that'll make it more interesting for her.
And there is a training, actually, about getting the community involved, the community involvement thing through ADE that's coming up in Tucson that I'm going to go to. It's like a four-hour training. So once we meet again, I'm going to mention to them if they would like to go to that. They've got some different angles on how to get community involved, and I think that really encompasses what PTO really is. So, but it'll be interesting, but we're going to sit down again, and so the next board meeting I should have some more information, or maybe I can get one of the ladies to come back and give a report on it, which is
great.
Even better than me talking about it.
Well, we wish them luck, because that'll be great for the kids and the parents, all of them.
There are a few handbook revisions a couple of staff members have brought to me that they would like to look at, and, you know, Mr. Almost brought up about student dress code in the uniforms last month, so There are a few different things that are out there to talk about and look at. And my plan would be then, especially with the uniform idea, would be kind of come up with a game plan, bring it to you guys probably next month, and that these would be the steps I'd like to take and the groups we should talk to, and to gather information, and then finish with an overall community survey. But I'd like to meet with some students. I'd like to meet with, you know, and I think that maybe one or two of you guys, if you guys happen to have a day where you were available to sit in and visit with the students, I think that would be good. I think that listening to the staff, I've heard people on both sides of the issue, you know, because I did mention that, you know, it was brought up, and it's something that will be.
It really wasn't done right the last time, because they said that every student in the school was something was sent home to them, and that they had, every parent was able to participate in a survey, a poll, and input. The majority of schools didn't get them. And so a decision was made without all the parents' involvement. So I think it'd be good to hear what they say. But are you talking about actually modifying our handbook? And
well, there's a couple of things.
Mid-year?
But
the policy, I'm talking policy, it's
right.
Not just as...
There's you know, a couple people have come to me about our policy on eligibility and grades, and you know, they would like to see that kids that are in things like anything from student council to athletics, you know, instead of it being as long as you're not passing or you're not failing, which is like a D minus, maybe push that up a little bit so that they have like at least a C average or some, you know, something.
They're not making it a little tougher.
To urge them, because I can tell you, those things that the kids want to be involved in, instead of setting the bar really low, if you raise that bar a little bit, those kids are going to get over that bar anyway.
Well, if they go to college, they're going to be stuck with that anyway, and just really, I think that's a great idea.
So that, you know, that's one thing. You know, a couple of the staff members came to me the other day, you know, because when we were talking about the uniform thing, and right with that, it says... Oh, I probably took the wording. I was going to read the wording, and I thought you guys didn't want to be bored with 5 minutes of wording. But it says appropriate shoes or something like that.
Are you talking about
it's kind of a real generic.
Or what?
Yeah, well, we've had kids coming with, you know, flip-flops. And, you know, if you're only walking, that's great. But when you go out to recess, all bets are off. And they're flying around there on that cement, and those flip-flops are flopping and flipping, and then you got girls in Cleopatra sandals, you know, and they got, I'm just waiting for bloody toes and everything else to come flying in, so we've been lucky so far, not a lot of blood, but, you know, so that was just another thing that was brought to my attention was, well, if we look at the uniform policy, another thing we should look at is what does it really mean to be, what's appropriate?
Well, see, normally appropriate would technically mean a closed-toe shoe.
So that was
and
part
so
of our discussion.
That defrays the liability with, you know, toes, toenails flying in.
I know. So that anyway, that was part of our discussion. So there'll be a few things that I think we'll be able to talk about. But,
that's what I like,
you know, it's just the same.
We're not getting down to undergarments, right?
It's just, okay. No, it's just all a right. Safety thing. Let's see. Item C on my report, we got a 39-page policy revisions from the School Board Association. That doesn't mean there are 39 pages of policy revisions. That means they sent me 10 pages of what a definition of all these words are, and then they have like three words in a whole policy that they want to change. And, you know, so for me, the biggest thing is just sitting down, looking at that policy in context with our policy, and how did those three words change it, and that we are, you know, we'll need to do that. So it's not going to be a major change. It looks like it when you first open it up and it's 39 pages, but then when you break it down, it's really not a lot of changes. But and generally every year there's always a few things. I'm sure tomorrow's social media law tomorrow for me. That'll be a good one. And then Thursday and Friday, or when we get into the regular law at this conference that I'll be at, But I'm sure somebody from the School Board Association will be talking about the policy changes and how they relate to the law. So there's always something in there in some court case that's kind of turned their way. The last thing I have is I just wanted to give you guys some information because I talk sometimes about, like, the audits and things. You had two active audits that were going on by the State Auditor General. Donna and I met last week with, all I can remember is her name's Ann. There were 4 points that we had to clean up on one of the two audits. And they dealt with some real basic things, but things that when I came for some of the first things that I questioned, but we have to tighten up our password security.
Yes. Did you get a copy of this?
I sent a copy to all three of you, so if you haven't read your email yet, that's
we'll copy that if you need it.
And then the second part was with the business office, and they want only certain people. You have to have a division of who has the power to do what. And right now, the way it's set up in our building, we have one person who is in charge of giving everybody the power, but they also have the power right now to work if they really wanted to, which I think they have absolutely no desire to be involved with, but they could actually get into the school finances also. And so the Auditor General said that can't happen. You have to have somebody who can give the power, and then you have other people who are inside doing the work. So we're making that adjustment.
And I have to tell you that same thing has been going on for
oh, I know.
And
I know.
So
it's only when they audit you and they dig in and look. And when they audit you, they are going to find something wrong.
Well,
see,
last year so many things got red flagged that they just started, you know, suspecting.
Well, this, I want you to be, both of these are from 2017.
Right.
These have absolutely nothing to do with the last 2 years of 2017. So another thing that they had, they actually had two things about our food service. One, we needed to be able to reduce costs, and they said that we were overstaffed. Well, we had a change in hours, and a very experienced person who went to part-time and another person that we hired for a lot less than that experienced person, so we reduced the costs. And then we also had, they wanted us to use food commodities, which they started using last spring. And the other thing we're looking at Tom Carlson is talking to me about is seeing if we're interested in getting involved in the Garden to Table Club again and starting doing some gardening and bringing that food into the kitchen. And so I haven't ventured out yet to the staff on that one, but that's something else we're looking at, and that would actually tie right into one of these audit questions. The other audit is much more extensive. With multiple essay questions and answers.
Did you just get that, or is that the old
this one? No, this one we got last month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in the process of, you have to answer it, and then you have to have someone look at it, and then you have to go through and make any corrections. So it's just a lot of different things. And when we get done with this, you guys, I'm sure, will get a final report. We'll get one from the state, and we'll make sure you have it. This is just a corrective action plan. So it's not really related to this, but there might be one or two things from there that are actually in here, too. It's just, a lot of it is paperwork. Like, we had the staff on Friday. Yes.
Didn't we do that last year, Ms. Morgan? We had a group that we went through all of that same paperwork, and talked about what we needed to improve on, and then you went back and said at the end of the year and some another review of
that's for title, I think, right?
Yeah, this is for finance.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, we're doing the title one now too. So
yeah, it's all kind of jumbled together.
Yeah.
In the
this one they clipped us on. They pull. They'll go in and if you have 35 employees, they'll pull 6 files. And they'll grab that file and they'll, do you have a loyalty oath? Now we do. Okay, do you have an internet appropriate use form? Now we do. They just filled out a bunch of forms on Friday at our meeting. So every form that we needed to have, we now have. so there were just, you know, little things like that. They just very, very meticulous look at those kind of things. So it's, and the loyalty oath was new to me. I mean, that's an Arizona thing, I guess, but I mean, in Minnesota and South Dakota, they must not
have normally loyal, anything about that would even have been gone any further in the staff, even.
Say what now?
The Auditor General report.
Well, one of the things that we will have to do with that Auditor General, this Auditor General report, another thing is we'll have to go through with the board and all staff members on whether they have a conflict of interest. So, like, for a staff member, if they had a business and we used that business, somebody used Ace Hardware, owned Ace Hardware, and we bought materials from Ace Hardware and they worked here, they would have a conflict of interest. You know, you were married to somebody that worked at the school or anything like that, you would have a conflict. And all you have to do then is just declare your conflict of interest.
Well, I think in the past what we've even done, because it is such a small town, things like that, you can't avoid them when it's this small. And so, like him, a father-in-law or a half-sister or something to that effect, I think the way we've always done it before is just the person would abstain and stand down from that item, even though there's not a really a critical question or an answer to make. But it's just for appearance's sake,
right.
Primarily. You know, it's not about, we're still making the same decision.
It's
a matter of saying,
yep.
I didn't even vote, because I know what happened in Bisbee a couple times. There was some questions about tiebreakers. And then that way you just say that technically my relative didn't. I wasn't participating in that vote, and so nobody can claim anything, even, you know, no matter
what. If in doubt, it would be way better to abstain and not be a part of it.
As a voluntary thing.
Yes.
Exactly.
But by the letter of law, unless you are married to a person working and you are voting on their contract, you don't
right.
have a conflict.
Or under your roof type thing and that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
But
yeah.
as I'm saying, even though we still try to broaden the spectrum because it's such a small community, just to make people understand that there's nothing underhanded going on.
Right.
And it's been done voluntarily in the past. Nobody was asked to do that. And so that's good.
So the only thing you would have in your situations, if you had two people that had relatives that were both working non-certified, the way to attack that would be to divide up the vote for non-certified. This group we would give a raise to, and then if someone had a relative and you wanted to step away from it, the other two could vote, and then this person could step away from the other group
right,
if they had a
exactly.
relative.
That's
you
what
could
we've done
do it that
past.
Way if you had to, but it's all aesthetics. It's really all it is.
It
so
really
somebody
is.
Doesn't read into the fact that you're doing something inappropriate because you're
exactly.
not.
Exactly. True.
So other than that, we are working on this. This one we have to have done by November. This one was due in 2 weeks. We sent it off today. I would expect that we'll get it back from them, and we'll probably have to tweak one or two of our answers. But generally speaking, I think that it covers everything that we spoke to them on the phone this last week.
And that one's already turned in.
This one's done. This big honker.
That one we have two weeks. No, is it? 2 weeks, no, 2 months from the August 14th, I think, right?
This one we had 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah,
okay.
we had 90 days.
Okay.
So, right, yeah. Because it wasn't quite 3 months.
No.
The day we had it, because
they guess from the
one
day
or two
they
of the months were 31 about one
right.
day.
So. Right, yeah, and then they just postmarked on their letter. Right, perfect.
So, we've got our share this year of audits, and as soon as we... you know, get through this, and it'll actually be nice. It's just the next month and a half is there's just a lot of things to get accomplished and get taken care of. So we'll get there. Other than that, I don't have anything else for you. We
do you want to talk about tentative for next month? Tentative date for our meeting for next
month?
Oh,
yes.
I have a calendar.
Oh, okay.
That would work for you.
And we usually
first,
just do the first.
First is
Tuesday.
Right.
Tuesday.
Right.
Can't get much earlier than that.
So, see, the first Tuesday is the first of October. And so the problem is, is that going to push you? Let's just set it for that, and then if we have to modify it, we can.
How about for you for financials? Are you going to be all right on that? Really, the financials would be the only thing that I would...
I'll be fine. Well, getting the AFR done another week would probably help.
Because the goal is to do the AFR at the October meeting, so if we could do the 8th, it would be better.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's go ahead and talk about tentatively. We're not setting it in stone. But let's talk about the 8th being more practical.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times it's hard on the first weeks, you know.
Well, and with the AFR, just because we have to do it in October, I'd rather not have it.
Okay, let's just talk about the next
a special meeting.
Okay, perfect.
Not that we don't enjoy.
That's what we call tentative anyway. What did he say?
Not that we don't enjoy being here. It's just,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, just
I just wait for this meeting every month.
Dated.
It's so exciting. Oh,
folks can't say that.
Okay, next. We have anything else, Mr. Macklin?
You know, I don't have anything else.
Okay, so we have that concludes our superintendent's report. So if nothing else, I'd like to move on to item 6, so it's adjournment. If I get a second at 6:05.
I'll second it.
Mr. Hummel's second at 6:05. Aye.
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 Don't go away.